Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Private Officer Beat Radio with Rick McCann at the microphone. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International. Glad that you're joining us, whether you're listening live during the broadcast or you're streaming it, downloading it on the many platforms where it's available, including iHeartRadio, Amazon Network, and so many others. And we got a lot to talk about. Of course, there's a lot of breaking news. We also are going to talk a little bit more about the upcoming training events coming up. And of course, we're going to be issuing out this coming week the nomination forms for the annual Private Officer Awards Program. We've been doing that almost since the inception of Private Officer International, and we love doing that. In fact, you can nominate anyone, anytime, anywhere. All that you have to do is contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. That includes private security, management, security company owners, law enforcement, and other first responders. We've even presented awards to teachers and civilians and hospital workers. So please, if you want to nominate someone, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And remember, if you're not getting our newsletters, go to privateofficer.org, a box will drop down, fill out your name and your email. We're not going to spam you. We don't sell your information. And you will get all of the breaking news right there in your email. We have recently been made aware of that a company in a foreign country, Nigeria of all places, has been listening to our news broadcast and our radio shows and getting our newsletters. We have many international members in multiple companies, countries, and multiple companies also get all of our news and our members. So, but Nigeria, I was quite surprised. But we have a lot of security personnel all over the world who are members or follow us or are interested in what we do, what we have to say in the training. So, well, power to them. I hope that it is something that they're taking and using for professional reasons. And I'll leave that there. Today's program, like I said, is pretty full. We do have a lot going on here. We are just entering spring break. We have locations along the Gulf Coast, and there's over 40 regional colleges out on spring break along the Gulf Coast. I know that I've heard from my friends up on the Atlantic coast that they are spring breaking up there too. So if you're working in security during the spring break, whether it's out on the beach or a hotel or some other event, send us your pictures. We'd love to share those on social media. And if you're out in California or somewhere where you're getting all of that disastrous weather, we'd also love to see your videos and pictures. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And I'll tell you what, it's not easy being in public safety. It's not easy working in security, but it definitely makes it harder in bad weather. We have a lot of people who work in all sorts of inclement weather, from freezing cold to heavy rains, tornadoes, hurricanes. We've had several security officers in the last 3 or 4 years die in tornadoes. We've had 2 in the last few years die in hurricanes. One fell off a pier into the water and drowned. So it's disastrous. But if you're working in any of these in climate environments, please send us some video and pictures. We'd love to get that information out and to give you credit for what it is that you're doing. We are going to take a quick break here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. Like I said, we have a lot of information, news, and so much more coming up. And join us in the conversations on facebook.com/Private Officer International and twitter.com/Private Officer. You are listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we'll be right back. My friends, right now, Armor Tech, a division of Armor College, is looking for people just like you to start your own school right where you're at. It doesn't take a lot of money, but it does take a little experience. You do have to have a few qualifications as an instructor, but we also certify you in many other areas. Currently, we are regulatory trainers for more than a dozen states. And if you're currently an instructor for your state security regulatory agency or the Red Cross or EMA or other types of disciplines, we want to talk with you. Have you ever thought about being in business, starting your own school? Well, now you can, with 100% support of Armor College. You can open up your own local school and be part of the Armor College system right now. You could be in business in a matter of weeks. Contact Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, at Armor College, ArmorCollege.org, for more information. I think once you find out how easy it is to own your own school, to be in business for yourself but not by yourself, you're going to ask, why in the world didn't I do this sooner? Contact Armor College today for more information. Hey, everyone. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now, don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Life is precious. Ask any of these people. They've been given a second chance at life through organ and tissue donation. But there are more than 84,000 Americans waiting for life-saving transplants. 17 people die every day waiting. I didn't know this until I lost my best friend, Lyric. She gave the gift of life to 5 people. That's why I've become an organ donor, too. One decision saves so many lives. Donate life.
In today's show, at the bottom of the show, we're going to be talking about a very special subject, one that is near and dear to my heart, and I hope to carry this over into several weeks. We're talking about a topic, people are different. In this program and upcoming programs, we'll be talking about what makes people different. And I'm not talking about race or size or nationality. I'm talking about things like autism spectrum, speech impediments, phobias, cultures, mental health, and more. You need to get everybody from your company here on this program and have them listen today and in the upcoming shows. As someone who is involved in most areas of public safety, including that of responding to medical calls and calls for fire service, law enforcement, public safety, security, I am seeing more and more conflicts with people in authority because they don't understand who it is that they're talking to or dealing with. And rather than de-escalate, I'm seeing many, including private security, escalating things way beyond where it needs to be. in this bottom half of the show and for the next few weeks, we'll talk about how to recognize when someone is not really being defiant. Maybe they don't understand your language. Maybe they are incoherent for one reason or the other. We need to be able to be trained to assess medical emergencies, mental health emergencies, people who are under the influence of drugs or alcohol that can't necessarily respond in the manner that you would have them to. Maybe they don't understand what it is you want them to do. And so in these upcoming shows, I am really, really hoping that you'll get a better sense of how many different types of folks and situations that we interact with almost on a daily basis, even if it's for private security. But across the spectrum of law enforcement, public safety, EMS, fire service, private security, we're all seeing the same number of people, the same types of people, but in larger numbers. More and more situations that we get involved in have to do with medical emergencies, drug overdoses, people who don't speak the language, people who have really mental health issues, and we need to better understand it. So coming up today, we're going to have part one, autism spectrum, what it is, how to recognize it, and what to do to help. Really, we're there to help.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
Welcome back to the Private Officer V Radio. We've had several inquiries about how to sponsor various training or the two-day conference in your area, or even the round table where we sit down with law enforcement and get some common ground in your area. It is really difficult for a company to get a training date and a location together and advertise it, not knowing if people are going to show up or not. So it's always better if we can get a partner, if we can get a sponsor. So let's say that you're in Tampa, Florida, and you want to sponsor a training. There's a couple of different ways that people do that. Sometimes companies pay a fee for us to come out, and then they invite their employees and other local companies. Sometimes they invite security companies, hospital and college security departments. Sometimes they invite law enforcement and others, and they help sponsor it. Other times companies will partially sponsor it, get two or three companies involved. We've had that done a number of times with churches and other groups, and so that's another way. The best way to go forward with this is to contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com and let us know that you're interested in participating, sponsoring, doing something to get these training events to your location. Now, we do have a couple of them already cemented in, and we're going to make those dates, times, and registrations available coming up shortly. We are working on a few others, but in the meantime, if you or your company would like to sponsor one in your area, 2 days of solid scenario-based training, a conference, plus we're going to invite vendors to the conferences, and we'll get some of those out there, and I think, you know, we'll be able to kick this off this year. Now that the COVID thing is, behind us a little bit, and really get these things to fruition and have a great time doing it. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We also had an inquiry about legislative actions. Private Officer International has had a legislative committee for many years, and we have assisted some states and some local jurisdictions with enacting laws. A number of years ago, a group of security officers from a state security association, which is no longer in operation, sidestepped Private Officer International after getting information from us on how to approach their legislators and how to go about getting some law enacted or changed. And they tried to do it on their own and then failed. And then they got back to us and tried to do it again. The bottom line here is we have worked with a number of states. We kind of know the process of first getting a bill written and then getting a bill to what's called committee. There's a process, a pretty long process of getting a law or a bill, even a bill written, but a law enacted and then signed by the governor. So if you're interested in getting a law right now, we have several people who in the last year have inquired about making assault of a security officer a felony. And we get this every once in a while. Assaulting a security officer, uniformed or unarmed, is a felony in at least three states. If a person uses a weapon, a club, on any individual, it should automatically be a felony. It's called aggravated assault or assault with a deadly weapon, ADW in some areas. And so if you'd like more information, contact help desk at privateofficer.com. We are here. We are a great resource with 20 plus years almost doing this as an association and over 40 plus years being in the industry and also being an owner of multiple security and public safety companies. I think myself and my staff have a lot of experience. So if you have questions about certain areas of the industry or even laws, contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. We also have access to attorneys, law firms, other legal assistants. We have a great research team as well, and we can find out just about anything that you need and also help you to accomplish whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. Helpdesk at privateofficer.com. We're going to take another quick break. You're listening to the voice of the private officer, the voice of the frontline protector here at Private Officer Beat Radio, and we'll be right back. I do need some more caffeine.
Can we be real for a minute? I'm a high school math teacher, and I'm a firefighter.
Ma'am, we're going to have you out in just a minute, okay?
I'm a designer.
I'm a retired VP in business.
And I'm a student.
I'm a mother.
I'm a business analyst, and I'm a volunteer firefighter.
You thought we just fought fire?
Firefighters get trained to do so many things.
Ready, right here, right here. Get sharp, get sharp.
What we do is serious business.
Three quarters of the nation's first responders are volunteers. That includes here in Connecticut. And lately, it's been harder than ever with fewer citizens volunteering.
From teenage cadets like me
to seasoned veterans like me.
So what are you waiting for?
You ready to make a difference?
Ready to join our team?
Your community needs you. We need you. Visit EverydayHeroCT.org or stop by your local firehouse today and take the first step of joining your fire department.
Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vests or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it. We want to give you a heads up here this morning, as over the weekend we received several alerts from law enforcement, and also we have been investigating through our own news resources. Donald Trump says that he believes he'll be arrested on Tuesday in New York City. This relates back to the Stormy Daniels scam. According to Trump himself, he believes that he will have to turn himself in to federal authorities or NYPD on Tuesday. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg says he signaled that he is prepared to file felony charges against Trump. Bragg is expected to accuse him of concealing a $130,000 hush money payment that Michael D. Cohen, Trump's lawyer at the time and fixer, made to Daniels on the eve of the 2016 presidential election. Now, this is interesting, but there's an alert out to law enforcement, not only in NYPD territory, but also throughout the country, as Trump has signaled to his followers to protest and to protest strongly. Law enforcement and private security is again teaming up for protests to occur across the country. We don't know to what level this might become. We're monitoring it closely and paying close attention to the 3,000 plus news feeds, plus our own contacts with law enforcement. We also receive updates from federal law enforcement, including the Secret Service, Homeland Security, and others. So as we get news in, we'll be sending that out via our newsletter broadcast and radio shows. For more information, keep it here. Contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com if you are aware of anything that we're not. And if you are going to participate in protest protection of businesses, communities, please be mindful to use only reasonable and legal force if necessary, when necessary. Be prepared, wear adequate clothing, and make sure that you don't overstep your boundaries. Everyone be safe. You live in Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, Maryland, Metroplex, the DMV as it's called. Do you want to be a special police officer, a private law enforcement officer, a peace officer? Do you want to be a park ranger for one of those jurisdictions? Do you want to apply to be a community service officer? Well, Unified Law Enforcement Academy is holding academies in that DMV area right now. Contact helpdesk at armorcollege.org. Our regulatory courses will certify you for becoming a peace officer, law enforcement officer, private law enforcement in Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Contact helpdesk at armorcollege.org today, and you could become a law enforcement officer within the next 60 days.
From coast to coast, cops are cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live, they'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Click it for ticket.
This morning I'm sitting over here at the news desk looking at the violent week and the violent weekend that has occurred once more. You can check out all of our breaking news and see it for yourself at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com, where we record dozens of incidents involving private security and law enforcement every day. Everything is fresh, not stale. You can also sign up for our breaking news at privateofficer.org. A box will drop down and you can fill out your name and email address. We won't spam you. We don't sell your information, and there's no charge. You can also follow us on social media at facebook.com/privateofficerinternational and at twitter.com/privateofficer. More than 37 shootings involving private security just over the last 72 hours. Two security officers are in critical condition. Another security officer was carjacked. In Baltimore, a security officer involved in a confrontation with a man early Sunday morning in the Fells Point area of the city found that he had to use deadly force on a man who was confronting him. Officers say that they responded to South Broadway at about 2:20 a.m. Sunday morning to investigate a shooting. Police have not made any arrests. One person was shot. Several people in the area said that the two men had been in some type of altercation before gunfire was heard. A gunman was shot also by a security officer during a gun battle, this in Philadelphia, again over the weekend. The shootout injured three women and an armed man. It happened at a hookah lounge where a security officer had escorted a problem person out of the lounge when the man pulled a gun. The security officer was also armed and opened fire, hitting the man while trying to shoot the security officer. That person shot three females who were nearby. The security officer was not injured. The man has been hospitalized and faces criminal charges. In New Orleans, a security officer was assaulted, robbed, and carjacked over the weekend. Witnesses say the security officer, who has not been identified, was working overnight in the mid-city area watching a building that was being renovated. Police say that they were called to the 200 block of South Alexander in the early morning hours. The security man told them that while he was sitting in his vehicle, he was held at gunpoint, assaulted by two armed suspects who then took his phone, wallet, and drove away in his truck. Neighbors in the area say typically that area is quiet, but they have seen an uptick in crime. At this time, the security officer's injuries are not known and no arrests have been made. An Oklahoma security officer is in critical condition after being shot. Police in Yukon, Oklahoma responded to a shooting outside of a nightclub. Authorities found the security officer with multiple gunshot wounds. No suspects have been taken into custody. That security officer, who is unnamed, is listed at this time in critical condition. A St. Paul, Minnesota security officer also got into a gun battle, this at a Speedway gas station where he was on duty. Some type of incident occurred Friday night at the Speedway in the 800 block of Johnson Parkway. Police say the man was acting disorderly inside the store when he was escorted out. The man then went to his car and came back into the store with a handgun, pointing it at the security officer, who was also armed and fired. Several shots were fired between the man and the security officer. The man then ran back towards his car and fled the scene. However, police were able to track him down to his address. He was found with a non-life-threatening gunshot in his arm. The 41-year-old, whose name has not been released yet, has also been arrested. A shoplifter threatened the store security loss prevention agent in Alpharetta, Georgia, with a hammer during a shoplifting incident. While the LP agent was trying to detain the subject, he pulled a hammer from under a jacket and began swinging it while stealing clothes. The store security loss prevention agent attempted to get him to just stop and drop the items. However, the man continued to threaten the security agent with the hammer. He fled, no arrest of him at this time. A Bridgeport, Connecticut man is under arrest after threatening a DCF security officer with a gun. DCF is the Department of Children and Family Services. Security officer said the man had come in and was disorderly. When he was asked to leave, he pulled a gun and pointed it at the security officer, threatening him. The security officer was able to pull his own weapon. The man escaped. Earl Livingston Williams was arrested, however, a short time later. Now, as a convicted felon, he's facing multiple charges, and the gun that he had, it was determined to be stolen. In Coronado Naval Base in California, a gate runner who refused to stop caused the base to be shut down. Multiple police agencies and the military base security team began searching and located the subject, who has been arrested. The base was reopened a short time later. A man pointing a gun at a loss prevention agent at a Walmart in Phoenix was shot by police. Shocking video now being released on the internet shows that the shooting of the man happened in the middle of a packed Walmart. The video released shows 35-year-old David Apena walking into the store near the 35th Avenue and Southern Road location. He began stealing items. When approached by loss prevention, he produced a gun. Police were either called or already at the store. They engaged the man. A shooting occurred. The man was later taken into custody. In West Hollywood, California, two security officers were bitten, assaulted, punched in the face while ejecting two troublemakers from a bar. Authorities of the West Hollywood Sheriff's Department has confirmed the security officers were injured at the Heart We Ho, physically assaulted as they ejected two men from the nightclub. The security officers were treated and will be fined. The suspect has been arrested. A Denver police officer is under arrest after he charged for off-duty security work that he never did. Police say that he took more than $8,000 while supposedly supposed to be working an off-duty security job, but he never showed up. An internal investigation showed that this was occurring between April and August of 2022. The police officer is a veteran of the department. He has been suspended. Two security officers in Windsor were sprayed with noxious substances during a department store break-in. The security officers attempted to detain the burglar when he began spraying some type of substance gas. Police EMS responded. This was at a Walmart. An investigation is underway. No arrests have been made. Another two security officers also came into contact with something noxious or poisonous. This happened at a high school. Connecticut State Police and U.S. Department of Homeland Security raided an adult nightclub in Pollen, Connecticut. They say that it was known to be a hub of prostitution and also possibly some other illegal activities, including trafficking. There were security officers on site. No word as to if they were arrested. Remember, you can go to our website at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com to get more information. Also in the news, A Walmart manager in Joliet, Illinois has been charged after allegedly stealing $135,000. An investigation had been underway by LPN police for quite some time. Melissa Vanderwall, 47, of Romeoville, Illinois, was a night manager. She took a large amount of money and then left. Police made the arrest recently. In Washington, D.C., security officers have been scorned and disciplined after they made 15 students who were wearing anti-abortion beanie hats remove them and then escorted them out of the building. The Smithsonian apologized for booting a group of 15 Catholic school students out of the National Air and Space Museum for wearing beanie hats that featured the anti-abortion slogan. The museum, who signed a consent order promising that visitors would never again face such scrutiny or be injected for visible political speech after a civil liberties group filed a lawsuit. The teenagers from Our Lady of the Rosary Private School in Greenville were on a trip to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life on January 20th when they visited the museum and encountered the security officer. The security officer said they could not wear such a hat, and if they continued, they would have to leave. Eventually, he did force them out of the building. Anytime that you want to see our news, go to privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. We want to talk about people. People that are different. Before I do that, I do want to also cover this news story. A former employee of a security company in Maryland has now been arrested for the murder of a security chief of a Temple Hills, Maryland skating rink. The off-duty security chief had come to the skating rink to pass out paychecks. He got into some type of confrontation with an ex-security officer. 31-year-old Eugene Smith of Washington, D.C. was killed. According to police, they now believe that an ex-employee by the name of Omar Delante Smith of Washington, D.C. was the shooter. They took him into custody over the weekend in Richmond, Virginia, and he will be extradited to Prince George County, Maryland. A security officer was also dragged by a truck while chasing a person who stole a 3-foot foam carrot from an Easter display in Clearview Mall in Butler, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania State Police say the security officer was chasing the suspect when he was dragged by the vehicle. The mall security officer said that he was trying to stop the theft. Police estimate he was dragged about a quarter of a mile. He received some injuries, but he was not seriously injured. Police are still investigating this assault and theft. All right, we're now going to go take a break. We'll be back to talk about people who are different. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. You live in Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, Maryland, Metroplex, the DMV, as it's called. Do you want to be a special police officer, a private law enforcement officer, a peace officer? Do you want to be a park ranger for one of those jurisdictions? Do you want to apply to be a community service officer? Well, Unified Law Enforcement Academy is holding academies in that DMV area right now. Contact help desk at armourcollege.org. Our regulatory courses will certify you for becoming a peace officer, law enforcement officer, private law enforcement in Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Contact help desk at armourcollege.org today, and you could become a law enforcement officer within the next 60 days. Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training. Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933. They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933. Today, I want to begin a conversation that I hope will carry over for several weeks, talking about how people are different. And I'm not really talking about our color or where we're from as much as I am the many different types of ailments and medical emergencies and differences within our being that many don't understand what to do with. When I first turned 14, almost within a few weeks, I was introduced by a friend to the American Red Cross. And he got me involved with his dad, who also was with the Red Cross, an instructor, and I took my first CPR first aid class. And I thought, wow, hey, this is cool. I'll be able to help people. And over the years, I've become further trained in the medical field, 1977. Until now, I have been involved as an EMT or a paramedic level and an instructor level currently as well. There are many different types of emergencies that people suffer. And sometimes that leads us to believe that they're disobeying us, that they're ignoring us, that they're making fun of us, that they're not listening to us. And it can cause security and law enforcement to escalate the issue and the problem. And we're seeing this nationwide because maybe there are more people with mental health issues and other ailments and things that we're not familiar with. I'll never forget the first time that I saw in person a person with Tourette's. I knew what it was. I had seen it in my medical training, but I never witnessed it. And here it was, a normal woman out in the public. She looked no different than you or me. And out of the blue sky, I mean, really, with no warning whatsoever, that person went from being normal and acting normal in public to beginning to swear and scream, and she scared people. She scared me. And many people were taken back, and they didn't know what to do. They didn't know if she was intoxicated, under the influence of narcotics, if he was having a nervous breakdown. They didn't know. And when police responded, and this was in the middle of a store, when police responded, they didn't know either. And this was quite a few years ago, back in the 90s. And so they too thought that she was under the influence or that she was mentally ill. And that's how they treated her. But as quick as she snapped into that outburst with the profanity and irrational movements, she was back to normal. And a woman who I believe was either or her sister, her mother, a family member, came after hearing the commotion and told everyone, oh, no, she's got an illness called Tourette's. People didn't even know what that was. And law enforcement had the sense to get in contact with EMS, and everything was solved and everything was calmed down without it being escalated. Many people today have issues, whether that be psychological, medical, mental health related. And the first one we want to talk about today, because it's on the increase, and many people, including myself, at one time didn't really know what was going on or how to read it or how to interact with people with autism. I have had special training several times on this particular subject because we often interact with patients that have autism. Autism or autism spectrum disorder, ASD, it refers to really a broad range of conditions. And that's one of the issues we have with identifying and assessing things like mental health, autism, people who have severe mental disease, people who have medical diseases. For many, many, many years, alcoholism was treated as a crime. And people in public under the influence would just be locked up. No trip to the ER, no assessment for medical needs, no assessment for mental health conditions. Oh, they're drunk. Let's bring them to the drunk tank. And that's how law enforcement and society solved their problem. Of course, through the years, they found out, well, this is actually a disease, just like being under the influence of narcotics. And so most areas treat it differently. If a person has alcohol poisoning and they are really extremely intoxicated, they get a ride to the ER in an ambulance. Unless they are physically violent or there's no place to bring them, no information on family contacts or friends, then if they're a threat to the public or to themselves, a danger to themselves, then they do get locked up for a short amount of time until they sober up. Autism is one of those things that has many different characteristics. And people don't recognize it, even law enforcement and security. Why am I telling you, you know, hey, you're security, why am I telling you? Well, first of all, we have a lot of law enforcement and public safety agents and others in public safety who listen to our program and those in medical areas as well. But it's important for you to understand what autism is and recognize the broad range of conditions characterized by challenges they have with social skills, repetitive behaviors, speech and nonverbal communication. Some people have other diseases on top of autism. According to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, autism affects an estimated 1 in 44 children in the U.S. today. And that might even be higher because they have not been diagnosed. Sometimes parents try to be parachute parents, and they try to protect them rather than have them diagnosed. They try to keep them at home, homeschool them, segregate them, keep them inside where they don't have friends or they don't have interactions in public. We know without a doubt that there is not one autism, but there are many subtypes, most influenced by a combination of genetic and environmental factors. Autism can be caused by a lot of different things. That's why they call it a spectrum disorder. You could be at the low end, you could be in the middle, or somewhere in between, or you could be at the high end. What we do know about autism is that many times children, starting at a very young age and even up until their teenage years, are very sensitive to their surrounding, loud noises, light flashes, people that they don't know trying to come close to them, get close to them, interact with them, communicate with them. It's all scary to them. A while back, it's been a number of years, I had a medical call that I responded to with our fire department. And I was in awe by one of the firefighter paramedics by the way that he treated that young child that he recognized immediately as being autistic. He got down on his level. He stayed away from him. He didn't become aggressive or get into that child's space. He talked to him. He even picked up one of the child's toys. He got him to calm down in the situation so we could take basic readings. We could get his respirations and different things. It really struck home to me. And I don't think I'll ever forget that interaction with a young child. Some people with ASD do require significant support in their daily lives. Some don't go outside. They're in a very controlled environment. But others are very smart. They catch on quickly. They still have challenges. They're still afraid of certain things, but they need less support. And in some cases, live entirely independently. And that's one of the things that's happening across the country. Many older people who have autism, I say older, I'm not talking about 100, 20s, 30s, no longer live in group homes, no longer live with a parent, but they're out on their own. They're living their life. Yeah. They do have challenges, and yes, there are emergencies that arise. But these people are just like you and me, but they have a medical situation that they didn't cause, and they can't help, and they don't have a T-shirt that says, I'm autistic, treat me differently. They don't want to be treated differently. They want to be treated the same. That's why they want to be living out independently. There are several factors that influence the development of autism. I want us to get a better understanding and reading about this terrible, debilitating, oftentimes horrific disease that imprisons those with it. There are several factors that influence the development of autism, first of all, and it's often accompanied by sensory sensitivities. And that's what I was saying. Some are very sensitive to light, to loud noises, to crowds. They cannot go to a concert, a theater. They can't go out in public like you and I. Some have sleep disorders, gastrointestinal or GI disorders, and seizures is very common. That was the type of call that I had gone to that day. The child had come out of that seizure before we arrived. Some also have mental health challenges, such as, they're not crazy, and I want to be very clear about that. They're not crazy, but they may have anxieties, depression, attention issues, and occasionally they may be suicidal. Mental health challenges like these are treatable. They're not monsters. They're not people that you have to be afraid of. They're just like you and I. And if you've never had the training, if you've never been around someone who's autistic, then you probably will not understand the signs. You probably won't know how to communicate with them. You probably won't know how to assess the situation. You probably won't know how to de-escalate and bring the temperature down rather than escalate it way beyond anything it ever would have been. Now, doctors tell us that signs of autism usually appear by the age of 2 or 3. Some associated development delays can appear even earlier, and often it can be diagnosed as early as 18 months. Some recent research shows that early intervention leads to positive outcomes later in life for people with ASD autism. In 2013, the American Psychiatric Association merged 4 distinct autism diagnoses into one umbrella, Diagnosis of Autism Spectrum Disorder, ASD. They included autistic disorder, childhood disintegrative disorder, pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified, and Asperger syndrome. I'm not sure if that was the correct thing to do. I'm not sure if lumping all of those youngsters into the same category was the right thing to do. But in 2013, the doctors decided that was the best. How many of you have interacted with autistic people and not even known it? Because they don't all, like I said, wear t-shirts saying, "Hey, I'm autistic, treat me different. Hey, I'm different, I'm ASD. No, sometimes you can pick up on it. But if they're having a good day, maybe not. When we're interacting, when we're responding to a call, when we have to be someplace where there are people who are different than us, acting like they're intoxicated, under the influence of drugs or alcohol, or mentally ill, sometimes it's hard for us to recognize that, especially if we don't have training. I love training. I would do it every day if I could, because the more I know, when I'm out, even not on duty, even not working, and I see things happening, because I travel all the time, I'm in a lot of different type of environments, settings, people. I teach hundreds and hundreds of people a year. I'm involved on the front line with security and law enforcement. I'm involved with the fire department, EMS, and public safety. So the more that I learn about different situations, the better I can
respond to them, assess them, help them, because that's what I'm all about. I want to help people. Anyone who's taken a job in law enforcement, fire, EMS, and even security, obviously are not there for the money. They still do truly want to help people. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the signs of the autism. And let me just say this before we take this break. What you're hearing today is barely scratching the surface. Now, at the end of our conversations, I will give you some tools and some areas where you can go get advanced training on this and other subjects that we're going to be talking about. Do I think this is necessary for private security? Yes, I do. Do I think that this is necessary training for law enforcement? Well, it is, and in fact, I've taken it through the police academy twice, once just a few years ago. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector on the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we're talking today about people who are different. We'll be right back. Across the country, there's a new 3-digit emergency number if you're feeling suicidal, if you're experiencing a life crisis. 988 is now the 3 digits that you can dial, just like 911 across the country. You'll connect with mental health professionals, and the 988 number will connect you with the Crisis Lifeline, formerly known as the National Suicide Prevention Line. Veterans can press 1 after dialing 988 to connect directly to the Veterans Crisis Lifeline, which serves our nation's veterans, service members, National Guard, and reserve members, and those who support them. For text, veterans should continue to text the Veterans Crisis Lifeline, short code 38255. Too many people experience suicidal crisis or mental health-related distress without the support and care that they need. But you're not alone. Simply pick up the phone and dial or text 988. Someone will answer that phone who is caring, understanding, and there to help you. 988. There is hope.
Human trafficking is slavery.
And it happens all over America.
Any child, any woman, any man could potentially become a victim of human trafficking.
I am a victim of labor trafficking.
I was victim of child sex trafficking, but now I own my body.
Human trafficking is any kind of forced labor.
It can happen to anybody.
I am a mother.
I am an author.
I am a son.
I'm an advocate.
I am an educator.
I'm a sister.
I am a brother.
I'm so much more than what happened to me.
I am strong.
I am brave.
I am outspoken.
I am compassionate.
I am a survivor.
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 I am a survivor of human trafficking.
Welcome back to the Private Officer Beat Radio. We've had several inquiries about how to sponsor various training or
What a fantastic day.
What a fantastic day.
The water's like glass.
The water is like glass.
Don't forget the sodas.
Don't forget the life jackets.
Who wants the 8 and who wants the 15?
Who wants the inflatables?
What a great day.
To be on the
Early on in my career, I saw law enforcement and security and EMS who often acted like they had no heart. When there was someone having a mental health issue, they were automatically diagnosed with being intoxicated under the influence of drugs or alcohol, when in fact they were really experiencing a mental health crisis or some other medical emergency undiagnosed, assessed, or treated by EMS. I'll be honest. Even today, many in public safety, from security up to law enforcement, are calloused. They are, well, just used to all of the street people, the homeless people, the drunks, and so many are under the influence. But you take all of that and you combine that with medical issues such as autism or other mental health disease, and you have a recipe for disaster in our country, in our world. I would like to say that more people over the years have become concerned and engaged and involved in their community's issues, but the fact is they haven't. Right now across the country, fire departments are almost 75% volunteer still today. We think of the big major fire departments, but the truth is the majority of fire departments and EMS systems are volunteers. And right now, especially since COVID-19 and even I was going to say 9/11, things got a little bit better, but over the last 3 or 4 years, and maybe even before that, volunteerism across the spectrum, it doesn't matter if it's fire, EMS, or your community soup kitchen, has gone down. People don't want to get involved. When we're working in uniform, when we're working in public safety, security, law enforcement, EMS, fire service, we got to get involved. And even when you're not on duty, if you can do it safely, you should get involved. I want to close out this first segment. I have a lot more to talk about that subject, but we'll do that at a later time. I want to close out this first conversation with some core symptoms of autism. You may not recognize it right away. Maybe you will. One of the core symptoms is social communication challenges. As I said, sometimes it's very awkward for them when they're around people. They'll be very shy. They'll go to a corner. They'll be non-responsive, non-engaged. They also have restricted or repetitive behaviors. They may do the same over and over. I recently, in one of my trainings, heard about this young child when he got in a crowd or even at a family event. He would begin slapping himself for no reason. He would just slap himself repetitively. Other signs or symptoms of autism may begin in an early childhood stage, and they often, or sometimes, go unrecognized. They persist. Symptoms will also interfere with daily living. They can't go outside because it's too bright. They can't be around a bunch of children in daycare. And specialized healthcare providers diagnose autism using a checklist of criteria. In the two categories above, they assess autism symptoms on a minor to severe symptom scale. Autism severity scale reflects how much support a person needs for daily function. It lets you know that this particular person, child, he's going to need some extra help. We all need extra help. We all depend on each other, whether we like it or whether we want to say it, we do. Many people with autism, as I've said, have sensory issues. And these typically involve over or under sensitivities to sounds, lights, touch, taste, smells, pain, and other stimuli. That's why if you ever come in contact with someone who you think is autistic, you don't want to get close to them. You want to talk to them. Don't talk down to them because they understand what you're saying. You want to ask them, is it okay if I get a little closer? Is it okay if I turn this light on so we can see better? Understand that these symptoms are not controllable for the individual. It's not that they want to be this way. It's not that they want to be in the dark all the time. It's not that they don't want to have friends to play with. It's not that they don't want to go out and see the real world, be part of the real world. They can't. Or they can only do it in small amounts for a short amount of time. Autism is also associated with high rates of certain physical and mental health conditions. And unfortunately, I have seen patients who had it all. Autistic, severe physical and mental health issues. Terrible and sad. Children and adults with autism have difficulty with verbal and nonverbal communication. Now, that's not always the case. For example, they may not understand or appropriately use spoken language. Around a third of people with autism are nonverbal. And this gets back to what I said in the beginning. You may be asking them a question and they're standing there looking like they're in another world. They're not understanding you. They don't understand your language, even though they speak the same language as you, but they don't respond. That doesn't mean that they're not listening. They're not paying attention. They're not obeying you. And here's where you could really escalate a situation that is nothing more than a medical condition. Sometimes gestures or eye contact is a problem for them. Let's say that you're Italian and you start waving your hands while you're talking. They might take that like you're upset with them. They might read into it like they've done something wrong, and that could put them even in a worse situation. Facial expressions not meant to be taken literally. They might look like they're upset, but they're not really upset. They may look like they're angry, but they're not really angry. Additional social challenges can include difficulty with recognizing emotions and intentions in others. This is why we need to be able to read and assess people. Recognizing one's own emotions, seeking emotional comfort from others. We have to gauge personal space. I've said this numerous times already. We need to assess who it is that we're dealing with, if they're having a medical, mental, or other emergency or issue, and we really need to respect who they are and the condition that they have. Repetitive body movements like rocking, flapping, spinning, running back and forth is a behavior of some autistic people. Repetitive motions with objects like spinning wheels, shaking sticks, flipping levers, doing things repetitively is a sign. I've seen them stare at lights or something shiny, like keys. One time, it was just a reflection off my name tag, but it drew the attention of that autistic person. Ritualistic behaviors, lining up objects, repeatedly touching objects in a set order, narrow or extreme interest in specific topics, and also a need for unvarying routine. They don't vary. They like their routines. They're resistant to change. So like if you told them they had to get up early one day and they're used to getting up at exactly 8 a.m., but you want them to get up at 7 a.m., that would throw them all off. I recently saw a show on ABC. It's called The Good Doctor. It's been on for a number of years. The doctor in that show is autistic, but he is well-educated, very smart in the show. He's able to see things that others don't and figure them out. And in a recent show, he had to go to court, and he brought an attorney who was also autistic. And she, the lawyer, also had some of the same repetitive behaviors. The opposing counsel was in a squeaky chair, and she needed three squeaks to be okay. Otherwise, she would go into a daze. So there was one, and she waited for two and three before she moved on with questioning the witness on the stand. There's a lot of things that are different about people. Some are medical differences, mental differences. Some is just their, from where, you know, people from have different cultures, and they come from a different place that they do different things. They act different ways. They believe in different things. Some people have phobias. Even things like speech impediments. And as I said in the beginning, Tourette's. Even today, many people have not seen that in real life, and they would be freaked out. And, obviously so. But as professional, frontline protective personnel, now more than ever, we're interacting with all sorts of people. Most private security, public safety, loss prevention, law enforcement. We're working on a lot of different properties and different environments. Everything from a shopping mall to an apartment complex to a doctor's office, a hospital, a college campus. And these people are going to be there. And they should be there. But we need to be able to understand them, to recognize a certain mannerism, a certain aspect of what they're doing or saying. We should be able to assess that they are autistic. In the upcoming conversations, we'll talk about alcoholism, drug addiction, and mental health. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thanks for being with us here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. Until the next time, y'all be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.